This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, many times people ask a question, I want to get closer to Allah. I want to change my life. What should I do? It's a very good question. And at some point in the lives of every one of us, we tend to feel within ourselves that we want to do more to gain closeness to Allah. The question is, what is the starting point? Well, Allah Almighty has answered that Himself by telling us, there is nothing that I love more than those things I made compulsory. If I did not love it, it would not be compulsory. This means, if you want to gain closeness to Allah, do your farad. That is something amazing. Clear-cut answer. Your obligations, the 5 daily prayers, etc. Make sure you fulfill your duty unto Allah. If He tells you, you have to do this. Pause for a moment. Does He need it? No, He doesn't. Who needs it? You need it, I need it. So, if that is the case and He is telling you, you have to do this, knowing very well He doesn't need it, but you need it, you need to know there must be something massively beneficial in what He is saying. La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. So, you want to gain closeness to Allah? At least do your obligations. Start off with the 5 daily prayers and so on. When it comes to fasting in Ramadan, when it comes to your charity, that which is obligatory and compulsory, do it with a happy heart. Do it such that you're looking forward to it. Don't look at it as a burden. It is for you more than anything else. It is for your benefit. Now, the next question is, so from among these things that Allah says He wants you to do, which of those acts of worship is the best? What can I do? I want to gain closeness to Allah. I want to be close to Allah. Well, I can tell you, prayer, Allah made it a pillar of Islam. The 5 daily salah. If you have that, you actually have your main connection with Allah. You've turned on that electricity, so to speak. That's what you've done. You've turned the switch on. You know, you can have power, but if you haven't clicked it to actually connect it, there's no point. You and I know in this country, we have generators, we have power cuts so often. If you don't have that turnover switch, no matter how big your generator is, or no matter how long ago the lights came back or the electricity came back, if you didn't flick the switch, you have no benefit at all. The same applies. We know how important salah is. Salah is that flicking switch, your connection with Allah. So, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that it is a pillar of Islam. And on top of that, he says, when a person passes away, one of the first things he's going to be asked about is salah. And if the answer for that was okay, you need to know the rest of it is going to be a walk in the park. Basically, much easier. That's according to the hadith, it's going to be made easier. And if the answer to that was difficult, you already know, hey, if the first part of this case didn't go too well, the second part is not going to be that grand either. May Allah grant us ease. If we faltered in the past, Allah says, no stress. Change your ways, change your habits, make tawbah, start afresh, and we will still treat you as good as the ending, not the beginning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good end. Ameen. So, now we've established how important salah is, the most important act of worship, and Allah doesn't want it ever to be fulfilled for anyone or anything besides Him. In fact, no act of worship is allowed for anyone or anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, from those postures and positions of salah, which is the most important? Which is the most important? If I start my prayer, what is the most powerful posture or position of prayer that I could get into and gain the closeness to Allah that is unmatched? The hadith answers that for you. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبُدُ لِرَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest that a slave can be to his Lord is when he is in prostration. Have you ever thought why all the postures of prayer in every unit of prayer, which means all the positions in every rak'ah are only once, besides one. Why? Simple reason, Allah loves it the most, that's all. That's the true answer. Allah told you to do it two times. Ruku' is once, not twice. So you stand up, you stand once per unit, right? You stand once. You came up once. You went down. You went down how many times? Twice, subhanAllah. Why? Against whatever the devil may be trying, you are going to go down twice. Imagine you went down, the devil cannot stand it because that is the most powerful posture you could ever get to in worship of Allah. The devil is literally pelted at that time. He is so angry and upset at what you've just done. And you actually come up with a smile. And then guess what? He's so cross and you've gone back again. Allahu Akbar. Look at how you've smashed the devil. This is why take your time in sujood. The hadith says the closest you can ever get to Allah is when your head is on the ground. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُدَ عَلَى سَبْعَةِ أَعْظُمُ الْجَبْهَ وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالْرُكْبَتَيْنِ وَأَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ The Prophet ﷺ says clearly, the proper way of prostrating is on seven bones. He said the forehead, and he pointed at his nose, which means this is one organ, right? Meaning one bone. One bone. This is the same bone. And then he says, your hands, your knees, and the tips of your feet, which means your toes. Seven. And that's why those who make sujood on the elbows, we tell them, hang on, you cannot add another two to that list. If the Prophet ﷺ says seven, it's seven, let's keep it at that. You know, when some people make sujood, they put their elbows down on the ground. You've added another two bones that are not in the hadith. It's sab'ati a'zum, and it's not tis'a. It's only seven and not nine. Remember this. So that posture, Allah loves it so much that it is called sujood. The root of the verb is sajada. Listen, anything connected to sajada is always the highest in the eyes of Allah. No chance that there can be anything higher than that. So Allah says, Man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Whoever builds for Allah a place where everyone comes to put their heads on the ground for Allah, Allah will make a house for him in Jannah. Straight. That is for no one besides the one who makes a house in which others are going to come to put their heads on the ground. What's the meaning of masjid? Masjid is a noun that is derived from a verb originally. The root of it is to prostrate. And masjid means the place of prostration. Even if it's in your own house. And wallahi, it's recommended. In everyone's house. And I know some have bigger houses, some have small. If you have a big house, have a special place where you pray. And spend time there. The day you die and you're alone in your grave, wallahi, that time you spent in that particular place worshipping Allah is going to come to help you. It will come to help you. You will never regret it. You have a big home. Specialize a place. People have a toy room. Imagine, people have a playroom, but they don't have a prayer room. Allahu Akbar. Look at it. Just have a little place and tell Allah, oh Allah, this is the place. Perhaps your children will come there watching you. You find serenity and comfort. Call the adhan out in your home. Have your prayers at home if need be. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given great value to this. Sujood, prostration. So take your time in it. Take your time. I know we have to say the remembrance of Allah at least once. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Recommended thrice. But beyond that, it's between you and Allah. 5, 7, 9. I can go on and on. How close are you to Allah? Like charity. 2.5% you have to give. Actually, that's not yours. What's yours is after 2.5, what are you going to give? Now we want to see. That is really yours. You find the point? The 2.5% always belonged to Allah. It was just the change you had to give from the $100 bill. It was always Allah's. The fact that you gave it, yes, you get a reward that you didn't steal it. That's what you get a reward for. You gave it. It was Allah's. But if you really want to prove how charitable you are, wallahi, it has to do with more than the 2.5. Then you're talking from your cash, which Allah did not make obligatory upon you. It's my money. That's why some people say, I'll give 10%. Why? 2.5 is from the compulsory and the rest is mine. I'm going to give. There is nothing hard and fast to say you have to. But it's up to you. Same with prayer. you have to do the farad. The sunnah is you do the farad in the masjid in congregation. And the sunnah and nafil, which means that which is voluntary, go home. لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا. The hadith says, don't allow your houses to become graves. What does that mean? Well, a grave is a place where no acts of worship take place. The person's already dead. So the sunnah is telling you, go home and do acts of worship at home. Why? You need rawnaq. You actually need spirituality. You need a beautiful ambience in your home. You call out the adhan, you do your prayer, your kids come, your family comes, you have whatever, and there is a Quran that is recited loudly. And so, wallahi, you enter the home, you feel so good. Because why? That house is full of ibadah. It is alive. It is alive. A house in which Allah is not worshipped is a dead house. Even jinn is more likely to attack and shaitan is more likely to come. The hadith says a house in which Surah Baqarah is read, the Quran is read, shaitan runs away. So learn this. It's very interesting. You will feel it. Your children will feel it. Your family members will feel it by the help of Allah. So you come to the masjid, you read in congregation. What is the benefit of reading in congregation? The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, Salatul jama'ati afdalu min salatil fadhi bi 27 daraja. One narration, 25. The salah that is fulfilled in a congregation, we're not talking of a masjid here. We start off with congregation. Be it at home, be it at work, be it on the street, be it anywhere. The fact that there's a congregation already multiplied by 27 times. Subhanallah. If I read alone, if I add a person to me, 27 times more reward. Wallahi, if this was gold coins, we would make sure we pulled somebody and said, hey, hang on, 27 times more, we'll share it. Allah says, no, we give you both 27 each. Subhanallah. But when it comes to acts of worship, we don't think business-mindedly, you know, for those things. But in actual fact, we should start doing that. May Allah grant us ease. Even if you just have to pull your family members, you know, and make sure they're with you, behind you, it's okay. Even if it's just your wife standing at the back there, it's fine. Remember this. You will get 27 times more reward to pray together in jama'ah. So what is the reward of the masjid? The masjid is even greater than that. So great that there is no multiplication mentioned of a reward when you read in the masjid besides for three masjids. So one day the Prophet ﷺ at his own masjid in Medina Munawwara was explaining how the reward of coming to the masjid is. That is over and above congregation, because congregation can be done anywhere, like I said. The masjid, the hadith says, Salatun fi masjidi hadha afdalu min alfi salatin fi ma siwah illa al-masjid al-haram. And one narration says al-masjid al-aqsa. Which means the salah that is fulfilled in my masjid is 1,000 times better than the salah that you fulfill in any other masjid, except Masjid al-Haram, and in another narration, and Masjid al-Aqsa. What about Masjid al-Haram? Masjid al-Haram is 100,000 times better. You go and make one salah, it's multiplied by 100,000, Masjid al-Haram. That means Mecca. And what about Masjid al-Aqsa? One narration says 500 times. As for Masjid al-Nabawi, the common correct narration is 1,000. But there is another narration that makes mention of 10,000. Either way, it is multiplied. But for our masajid, there is no specific number. The number is for Salatul Jama'ah. And definitely when you read in the masjid, there is a very great reward. So much so, the Prophet ﷺ says, you must try your best to go to the masjid unless you have a valid excuse. Now we come to the coronavirus. Right? It's important to talk about it. What happens? We do know that, yes, at the beginning, mashallah, tabarakallah, we were so interested in knowing what's going on. And always remember one thing, as a mu'min, we must take precautions where there is something that is detrimental to life. We must take precautions, no matter what. You are not allowed to put the lives of people at risk. Never. You take precautions. And if need be, the restriction has to be put into place, you will put it into place. Anyone who claims that those who said that we need to restrict or we need to minimize or we need to take precautions does not like the masjid, hates the masjid, hates salah, is not a proper Muslim, is all a lie. In fact, they may be better Muslims with those restrictions than the ones who might have promoted being very, very, you know, easy about things. Oh, there's nothing like this. And it results in a lot of people being affected, hurt, harmed, and even death. May Allah protect us all. So put things into perspective. Those who promote precaution and restriction where it is needed are not ever to be called people who don't like the masjid, they don't like salah. They probably read more salah than you and I. They probably go into sujood longer than you and I. They probably read salah with jama'ah elsewhere. Nobody ever said, don't do salah with jama'ah. Do it at home. I remember promoting very loud and clear to say, read more salah, take more time in your salah, etc., etc. But there were restrictions at a certain time, primarily during the month of Ramadan. Right? After that, what happened? Well, we got to know more. We became a little bit more equipped. We started seeing things from different angles. And guess what? At some point, life has to continue. And I remember sitting on this pulpit here telling you and reminding myself that life must continue with precautions. So we won't allow someone to come in on their own, no precautions, and pretend like, look, I know what's going on. So you know what? You can go to somewhere else where they think like you. But for us, we will fulfill the salah. We will not close the masajid. We will make sure that the precautions necessary are taken, and thereafter we will continue with life. And if you get sick after that, it was in the hands of Allah. So what? What could I do? That doesn't mean I'm complacent on one hand, nor does it mean that I'm using religious blackmail on the other. We're in the middle. And there was a time not too long ago, there was a bit of a spike. So precautionary measures, just precautionary. We added a little bit of a restriction for a short moment of time. It was necessary because we felt so. And as soon as we felt otherwise, it went back to where it was. We are so fortunate, we actually have very little restriction compared to some other countries. And mashallah, we're making use of it. I see this masjid, subhanallah, Salatul Fajr and some other salawat. And you know what? Alhamdulillah. The people are coming and everyone is taking precautions. They're taking it seriously. So remember, the sujood is absolutely important. Virus or no virus, there's no compromise in your sujood, my brothers and sisters. Take even more time in your sujood, because when you get to that sujood, that is when you will get shifa and cure. Guess what? Here we are with our own prayer mats. Subhanallah. Is that something wrong? No, not at all. It's just a part of precaution. What did you do? Alhamdulillah. But did anyone stop you from sujood? Never. Did anyone stop you from salah? Never. Did anyone stop you from congregational prayer? Never. The only thing that was slightly restricted was the masjid. And I want to encourage you and I, my brothers and sisters, remember, you're healthy, you lead a normal life, you're going out to work anyway, and if there is no reason why, you shouldn't be coming to the masjid, you should still be coming to the masjid. Why I'm surprised sometimes is you find a very healthy person getting on with his entire life, but the masjid, no. We need to understand. Let's talk about it. Let's create this consciousness. Let's conscientize ourselves about it. That hang on, if you're healthy and there's nothing wrong with you generally, take your precautions and go to work. Take your precautions and go and do everything else. Take your precautions and go to the masjid. Why? Because رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. There is a special shade on the day of judgment for a person whose heart was attached to the places of prostration. Primarily, your mind goes to the houses of Allah, the masjids. So yes, it is correct. If your heart is connected to the masjid, you know, when I was young, and up to this day, as we grew older, there's always certain uncles that I would never forget. You come to the masjid, they're there. You must be knowing some as well. They're there. And some of them have passed away. And I sit and I think, hey, I'm sure Allah will recompense that uncle. May Allah grant them Jannah, all of them and us too. Because they were there, come Fajr, come Dhuhr, come Asr, they were just there. They were just there. May Allah make us such that we can free ourselves in that way. Allahu Akbar. We need to build our akhirah. Wallahi, you and I don't know how long we're going to live. So to prepare for the day we're going to meet with Allah, it should be a beautiful thing. And the best way you can prepare, increase your sujood. And I want to end off by telling you that, you know, sujood, Allah loves it so much. Allah will not allow for it to be done for anyone besides Him. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Indeed, the prostration, the places of prostration belong to Allah. So don't ever worship anyone besides Allah. That's what Allah tells you in Surah Al-Jinn. And my brothers and sisters, take your time in sujood. It is an honor. Learn a few more of the du'as that can be read in sujood, because it's a position that's going to really help you. The closest you can get to your Lord, the closest you can get to Allah, is in that position of sujood. I pray that these few words have helped myself and yourselves to revisit the whole connection we have with salah, and to do it as an honor, and to fulfill the farad, and then also try to do your sunnah, your nafil, and to liven the home, and to make sure that yes, there will be pandemics, there will be tests, and we will take precaution, and there will be restriction, but as best as we can, to the best of our ability, let's try and fulfill things the way they should be. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.